AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. I think we could call it the Common Sense Broadcast. Just like Mark Andel has on his t-shirts, it's Common Sense by American. You can get those t-shirts at the Made in America store by going to madeinamericastore.com. Well, we are broadcasting on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And we're very, very pleased that you are with us here on the radio. If you have family and friends that live in the radio signal area, go to your telephone right now and invite them to tune in, because it's going to be a very interesting broadcast today. I'll tell you, you can also listen to rebroadcasts or to broadcasts right now by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, as you know, we have a lot of things being said on this broadcast. We talk a lot of common sense, which is not always what we hear in the general news media. I'm really disappointed that the news media is doing this to the American people, because it's hurting them in a big, big way. The only good thing the news media really did is they promoted yesterday, Tuesday, September the 25th, as National Voter Registration Day. I saw it on Google. I heard it on the news. They're really trying to get the people registered to vote. And, of course, we've been encouraging this all the time, and we do it right from the front page of American Workers Radio simply by logging on to the vote link, which is right under the pictures of the panel. Just click on that. And by the way, this is a great link. It's very easy to use, and you will have no trouble whatsoever. But of course, as you know, most states require that you register 30 days in advance. So do it today, tomorrow the latest. And by the way, copy that link and send it to family members and friends who you feel may not be registered and would like to register. Encourage registering to vote. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to all our panel members: Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. Last week we had Curtis Ellis with us, and Curtis is attending a meeting in Washington today, and we thank him for all of his words of wisdom. It really does help. You know, I often wonder, as people stop me and talk about all the things going on in Washington, I wonder who from the 535 national elected leaders in Washington, D.C., is really concerned about the needs of America while all the nonsense is going on in Washington. It's very interesting. We don't hear anything on the local radio stations. What are we doing to help businesses move forward by buying their products, by supporting their workers, by going out of our way to use their services? None of that. It's all the same thing over and over. You almost don't want to listen because you know the news before you hear it coming from the news commentators. With that, we're going to open up and enjoy open forum today. I want to know what's on everybody's mind. No holds barred. I'm going to start off today with Larkin Connolly. Let's hear what you got to say, guy.
Well, hey, good morning, Michael, and good morning to our audience and to our other panelists, and Henry Boom Boom Chaplinsky. Good morning. It's a wonderful day in Florida. It's slightly overcast, but I'm really having a hard time with this 81 degrees and no humidity. okay, that's enough of that. My wife and I had a long discussion this morning as we sat down in the living room to watch the morning news. And she said, there's nothing new. It's all the same gobbledygook. I mean, nothing seemingly changes. Why don't we watch something that instructs us or tells us something that we haven't already heard? And, I found it funny. We switched from one network to the other just in time to see the story we had just seen in the other network about Will Smith jumping out of a helicopter for his 50th birthday. I don't know. Michael, I'm terribly, terribly concerned about what this country calls important and what they pay attention to. And I hope somewhere along the line we all wake up and understand that it's going to take a new level of dedication to country and to our fellow citizens and what is the world's most diverse society, and start doing some good and right things.
You know, Larkin, I want to ask you a question. I know that we've been in endless news cycles over the years, but what is really causing this lust for all this hate and anger to come out in the last few years? Is it?
Well, we've turned into a tribal society, and it's as bad now as I think it's ever been in this country. I think in the Civil War there were two tribes. Here in the American society, we have four or five or six tribes. I mean, an endless number of tribes of people who don't pick up a newspaper or turn on a radio or a television to see what's new. They pick up a newspaper of their choice or turn on a television or a radio station of their choice that's going to tell them what they want to hear, that's going to support the stuff that's coming from their tribe. And I don't know, you know, I know that Bruce Bassett-Powell, when he's on, and I go around and around about the press and the fact that nobody tells me what's the facts anymore so that I can draw a sense of conclusion, or if I want help drawing a conclusion to a specific topic that I can turn to the op-ed page. Heck, you want the opinion of the newspaper, all you got to do is unfold it and take a look at the front page. And it's the same with CNBC and MSNBC and Fox and CNN. They all have an agenda, and I've never really known it to be necessary if you're really truly a journalist to have an agenda. But you know, it's tribal. That's the problem. We're all very, very tribal, and we don't all belong to the main tribe, which is America. I mean,
you're right. You know, the news media should be helping us to focus on the fact that we are Americans, that we stand for one flag. We honor our veterans. We honor our neighbors. None of that's being discussed. They're not even talking about some of the efforts to restore trades and technologies in the schools. They're not even talking about that. It's not of any interest. And as people tell me, Larkin, they're getting turned off, totally turned off with the media and going to their own news programs. They're also going into music and things like that. They simply don't want to hear the same old thing where people work themselves to death criticizing the next person. With that, I'm going to ask for words of wisdom from Mark. Mark, the man who has the best shirt in town, it's Common Sense by American. And by the way, I want you to know I did observe every inch of the shirt. I looked at all the labeling, and it is 100% made in America. And if you want It's Common Sense, go to Mark Andel's site, madeinamericastore.com, and check out what he has to offer. Mark, Let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Mike, Larkin, Henry, and I think Rich is going to join us, all the listeners. Fired up here. I don't have the weather Larkin does. Kind of jealous there, Larkin. We're a little cooler and definitely rainier up here in Buffalo. But, you know, it's our snowplow season, so that's good. Mike, common sense, like you said, that's the topic today. And it is just common sense. Support the country you live in. Buying made in America just makes sense. I just came off of a bus. I ran back over here from Newcastle down by Pittsburgh. They always bring up a casino bus. Great people. Every bus we go on, I tell the story. It takes about 8 minutes, where we came from, what we're doing. We're up to 8,000 products. And then we show them some things. But I always stop and ask how many veterans are on that bus. How many people serve this great country? And we give them a round of applause. We tell them we don't wait for Memorial Day. We honor you every day. So I want to make sure that's spoken of. Yesterday, you would have liked it, Mike, on my other show we recorded for Saturday, we had Bob Confer. He owns Confer Plastics up in Tonawanda here in Buffalo. He's responsible for 230 employees. What a great guy. I'm going to get him on the show for you because he believes third generation. They do blow molding with plastic, and it's very interesting. He made the hinges that are on tackle boxes and whatnot, but he makes kayaks. He makes the wraps for hot tubs. And I was laughing talking to him. They made 50,000 wraps, like these kits that go on. If you had a hot tub, you got a wooden outside, you can replace it with plastic. But the point was that he's made hundreds, thousands of kayaks. But I said, well, the economy must be booming. And we talked about that. He said, yeah, I'm living the American dream. My employees live the American dream. And I said, well, people buying kayaks and hot tub skirting must be doing better in the economy. He said it's the best year by far his sales. And it's just another – I want to bring that point up, Mike, because we are so busy here. The things you don't see on the news, like Larkin, you're talking about, you see the same things. I want to, just say how busy this economy for us, for work-wise. Can't find the workers, Mike, but it's so important for the listeners to know that this is really happening. This is a plastics guy I had on, extremely busy, up to 230 employees, overtime Saturday, Sunday. Things are happening, and they're buying things with disposable income. If you're buying a kayak and hot tub skirting, it's something, not a necessity. So I think that's great. I want to know, though, Mike, the news these days with Kavanaugh and going back 40 years, what message is this possibly telling on our children? Would you ever want to become the president of the United States again? Would you ever want to become a judge, a politician? And Larkin, I want you to answer this too. What message are we sending our children? Again, my daughter just turned 16, but I just can't believe what's going on TV. How deep do you dig?
Why would you want any job that's going to be vetted by the government that has a political
with this media
twins to it? You're going to get thrown through the mud. And you're going to expose your family to, imagine Kavanaugh's wife having to explain, as she mentioned in a interview yesterday, having to explain to her children, her young children, what's actually going on here.
Exactly.
It's deplorable, but
and we all believe in justice for whoever. But 40 years is just the way they seem to be digging and digging.
Yeah, I'm mystified, but I think it's a new, it's a new tactic, new political tactic, and I'm afraid that, if it works or even if it comes close to working, it's going to be something that we're going to see both sides using. I've been listening to people on the other side say that, what you did to Garrett Garland or whatever the guy's name that Obama put up, that's the political system at work, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I thought about it and studied it and read the articles. The fact of the matter is, if you want to appoint judges, you have to win elections. I'm sorry. It's just, and unfortunately, Obama got an opportunity to appoint a judge, and he didn't have control of either of the houses. And as a result, certainly not the Senate, he's not going to get an appointee. But it's dangerous what we're doing, Mark. There's no question. And it doesn't represent us. This is
exactly
not who we are.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
And Larkin and Mark and everyone listening, there's one thing that really concerns people. Everyone I ask, what do you think? They say, what are they doing for me, my children, and my grandchildren's future? How are they helping with all these witch hunts? By the way, 535 people in Washington. Who's watching the store as all this is going on? Why aren't they reporting at these hearings? Well, we should also pay attention to the fact that there are 6 million job openings in America right now that can't be filled because there is a skills gap of the young people coming from America's schools. Many of them can't read. Yeah. Many of them can't write. Many of them can't measure with a measuring ruler. They can't do anything. They need everything electronic just to get by.
And Mike, I want to bring up something. Last week, all these buses that come, I talk to all types of people, and I mean professors, school teachers, politicians, and it's beautiful because I get this education. Well, this guy, the gentleman down by, somewhere down by you between, you know, Philly and Pittsburgh, there's a millwright school or millwright business. But anyways, he was short about 50 millwrights they need because the mills are opening back up in Pittsburgh. And you would probably know which mills, but he said it's very, very exciting times. But he said, I call these trade schools that are in the works right now, and they said everybody's placed. And
everybody's said, placed, and they have a waiting list of kids that want to go into the classes, but they don't have enough classes because they've canceled those classes 15, 20 years ago.
Here's a little twist, though. I said, oh, they're placed. He goes, yeah, but I found out their placement sometimes can be McDonald's or Dick's Sporting Goods, and they still get their funding. So he was disappointing, and sometimes when he hears they're placed, are they placed in what you trained them for, or are they just placed in a job?
You know, Larkin, Mark, why can't we have federal hearings discussing what's needed by America's businesses to get people back to work?
Mike, that would be awesome.
I'd love to see what these people in Washington would do. How would they question some of the schools? How would they question the business people? Why didn't the business people report we are having a shortage in this particular?
Even truck drivers, Mike, what I'm hearing lately, it's incredible. What we talked about for 5 years when I was on a show, you've done for 10. It's here now, and I'm hearing it. People are frustrated because the economy is really getting going, and you cannot grow it without skilled trades.
And we can't keep up with it. And I'm not so sure that this issue doesn't go back to what Michael was saying, I think, but it was probably last year at this time. And that is, I don't know how you do it. Trump tried it, but I think we need to mobilize our governors. You know, most of these issues are local issues. Education is a local issue. Yeah. Trade education, to me, is a local issue. Staffing our factories is a local issue. You know, what the issues in Buffalo or Pittsburgh, two very similar cities, might be, entirely different than Philadelphia or Greenwich, Connecticut. I mean, and I think that it's an issue that we ought to plead with our governors to start giving some attention to.
It needs, because no matter where I stand, if it's at my daughter's field hockey game or Powder Puff last night or wherever I am, it all leads every business person, every person I talk to, they need more workers, from truck drivers. Whatever it is, it's incredible lately how much I'm hearing. And it's because the economy is growing and taking off. But we've got a major mistake on our hands. And they, like you said, they've got to put more and more. And maybe it is at the local level, Larkin. But it's got to be faster because these people are going to make very, very good money.
You know, Larkin, what's really interesting to see people talk about, how is this even possible in America, the country that spends so much money on education, more money on education in America than any country in the world? Yet we don't have the basic workers. We don't have the technology workers. Research and development's being done all over the world, but less of it in America. How is that possible in the greatest system of economy on the planet, the best economy on the planet, and yet others are showing us up? Larkin, how is that possible? Why is it possible?
Well, I think it starts in two places, and I'm trying not to get philosophical, but I think the leak in the dike is really starts with families. I've got two really, really disturbing facts. In 1960, in the African-American households, I forget what the percentage was. I haven't written that. 20% of those households were fatherless and not really family oriented. And today it's 70%. 7 out of 10 households are fatherless. And it doesn't get any better on the Anglo side either, because they're at 40%. 40%, Mark, of the households of the white households in America are fatherless.
Wow.
That's and, just, I mean,
20% were back in like the 70s, Larkin, or?
Well, it's the 20 and the 5% on the white side and the 20% on the minority side is 1960.
Oh, wow.
So it's today it's 70 and 40.
You know,
it's not a racial issue. It really isn't. It's all socioeconomic, which I guess can be argued to be a racial issue as far as the disparity in the numbers. But 40% is so unacceptable to me, I can't even imagine, let alone the 70.
You're right, Larkin, you're right. And the thing that's very interesting to see is some of the school districts in the last few years have been saying we got to do something to prepare our youth to use our money wisely. Yesterday, there was a report on television and on the radio about how the state focused on the city of Camden, New Jersey. And they said that they went in and they started to take a look at what the teachers were doing, how they were teaching. And in 3 years, there has been an enormous improvement. It went from this percentage to a very high percentage where the children are doing much better. I think it's time for every school district in America to take an inventory as to what they're doing with their money, how much their teachers are paid, how much their teachers are doing, how many children graduate, where do they go after graduation? Do they go to a job or where do they go? And I'm asking in a very nice way. And when people say, well, they can go to job training programs after high school, why should they go to job training programs when they could get that training in the high school?
Right in high school like we did.
Doesn't
like,
make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we were just talking about. I had metal shops, wood shops, fire mechanics in my high school. That was a choice, and they pushed it. They've got to open up. That one size fits all just does not work. All children need a purpose, and we got to, younger, about eighth grade, ninth grade, we got to give them that option.
And dividing people like you're black, you're white, you're Asian, this has been stupidity for years. That's been, you know, that should have stopped already. And education is the foundation of everything. If you have an education, no matter what color of the skin you have, you are on the road to success.
Absolutely.
And people who want to make it a racial issue, it really isn't a racial issue. We've got huge, huge problems, and socioeconomic imbalance is one. You know, the gap between the rich and the poor. You know, let's not lean on the rich for doing better. Let's start concentrating on poverty and why the poor are getting poorer. That's what I don't understand.
That's right.
People who want to make that an argument keep on saying, well, the rich are just too damn rich. And they're rich and they're not.
Oh, it's that 1%. You're right, Larkin.
Why is being successful such an issue? That's what you should strive for.
No one should apologize for being a successful person, but they should question why are they living in poverty in what is termed the greatest country on earth with every type of opportunity possible. Our opportunities were taken out of America. We don't have to bring them back. We have new opportunities every day. Mark, you spoke earlier of the man who did that plastic hinge.
Yep, Bob
That's
Camper.
Something that was invented in America. He's keeping it in America. Every day new products are invented and put on the market.
Yeah, Mike, this Bob was really well-spoken. I'm going to get him on, but talk about he's living the dream. It was three generation, but his employees get to live their dream because they're doing well. He passed it right down, right through his company. Everybody gets to have a better life when things are going better. You're making good wages. You want to contribute. You want to do your part, and that's what we got to get back in. One team, one goal. I said it before, one country, one goal. You know, everybody to do better, whatever they want to do, but give them options. This media, you got to shut it off. It's just negativity.
Yeah, just turn it off. Turn it off.
All the negative is just good for anybody.
You know, I'm very pleased as I go around. I'm hearing more and more employers speaking up about how the young people graduating from our schools are totally unprepared for the types of jobs they need. And believe it or not, some of the people that are working in the convenience stores are now going into other industries, or maybe even going into office settings. And I see signs on the doors, places I would never believe would be needing people, have signs on the door, help wanted, apply within today. Now, they're asking for people because some of the people who have more qualifications are leaving, and they need somebody to make the sandwiches, fill the coffee pots, and everything else.
Yeah, and we got to let the kids, we got to take away some of the safety nets. We got to let them make mistakes because that's where your learning curve is, right?
Absolutely. By the way, guys, I have a special guest on the phone who wants to share some information with us. And you mentioned him earlier, Larkin, and it's Bruce Bassett Powell on the phone. Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Michael. And welcome to you, Mark, and you, Larkin. It's good to be on here. It's hot and sticky and hopefully a little rainy here in Texas today. We're in the high 80s, and the humidity is as bad as it's ever been. Yeah, however, thank God for air conditioning. I have to say, everything you're saying today is right on spot. As you know, I'm a SCORE member like Larkin, and I've got a whole bunch of things going on this month and next month. One of the things that I've noticed is a sharp increase locally here in people wanting to start businesses, which has been down recently. And I've read in the press that it's not as many people have, and there's a lot of interest in starting businesses. But we have the same problem, and I'm going to a forum tomorrow on this in Victoria, Texas, with skilled workers. It's very difficult if you're a mid-sized business in this country that relies, for instance, on welders.
Yes.
They have to go 45, 50 miles to truck in welders from other towns around, and that pulls those welders away from that town, and they go elsewhere.
Exactly.
It's becoming somewhat of a crisis. We're having three major new businesses, one of them an Exxon, massive Exxon factory in Corpus Christi, further south from here, and they're having the same problem finding everything from carpenters to welders to skilled workers to even build the buildings there. It's a big problem, but I don't know what the answer is, and it's certainly, you know, even when my two boys, who are now, one of them is now in their 40s, used to do chippy in school, they've completely dropped that now, I take it.
Yeah.
You know, carpentry.
And that's the problem, Bruce. You're seeing it, you're hearing it. You know, and we work with the kids. We love the kids we work, but it's funny. You got to bring them in. You got to teach them. If you can get soft skills where they show up, I mean, it's a different culture nowadays. And then you got to teach them how to hold a hammer, a screwdriver. You're teaching them at such the basics. But we need workers right now for this economy, so we don't have
right.
the time. And that's the frustrating part.
You know, Larkin and everybody, and Bruce and Mark and Rich Logis is on the line with us. I have to tell you, it was reported at the school gathering here in Philadelphia that in 1970, now that's not that many years ago when you really consider the skills in America, there were no skills gaps for the jobs of that time, especially with carpentry, auto repairs, all of those types of things that were offered in our high schools.
In the high schools, yeah.
In the high schools, all of the wood shops, everything. There was no problem whatsoever. It's when products started to become mass-produced and people wanted them, they thought they were getting something cheaper, they went right away to the big stores. Now the stores are seeing, the big stores now are seeing people pass through certain aisles and they want nothing to do with those products.
And Mike, don't forget the stigma that was put on welding machines.
Exactly.
And, they were selling college and solid. I mean, the parents and the guidance counselors in school, they were selling college, but even if you weren't made for college, they were selling it. And that's what hurt these kids, I think.
I think so. And it was also the stigma. Oh, is that all you are? Is that what you're going to be?
Exactly.
You know, there was some focus on everybody shooting the arrow in one direction, that you were either going to be a lawyer, a doctor, or whatever. In that particular category, a salesperson for a drug company or whatever, that was your main focus. And then they found out that all of a sudden there were no plumbers, carpenters, heating and air conditioning. Other countries made it easier. Like sometimes you call on somebody even from one of the major chain stores and they'll say, oh, you don't worry about replacing that. Somebody will come in with a motherboard and just replace the motherboard, the brain. And I say, well, is there anybody who can fix it? This is only 9 years old. It's not worth it. They come. I said, where's the motherboard made? Oh, it's made in Japan. I said, well, I want something made in America. And the conversation just goes on and on like a road to hell. But I am making a point to these people. In 1970, why did we have no skills gap unable to be filled? Every worker was able to go to a company and get a job. If you went into a business, your services were needed. Today, the big stores took all the viability from the small stores and put it into the Walmarts and Kmarts. Now we're seeing stress upon those stores because Amazon came into the picture. Now Walmart's having problems, Kmart's going out of their minds, Sears, the whole thing. The people have to start shopping local. That's why we've been promoting this National Small Business Weekend. We have to start focusing on what helps our local workers. Every state has something to offer. Every community needs something different based upon weather and where you're located. It's time for us to have what I keep saying, Mark, brought to our attention. It's common sense. We not only have to buy American, we have to support Americans in every way that we can. And education is definitely one of those ways. I'm going to give Rich Logis the microphone. Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. And hey, Bruce, thanks for coming on. And Henry told me it was an open forum.
Yes.
I was at the, sorry for coming on late. I had a doctor appointment, and I'm very happy to join, Michael. Couple things. So, first thing I want to mention, Michael, is I think a residual effect of the cheap goods market, which all of us have benefited from to some extent. One residual effect of the cheap goods market is it reduced and minimized the need for the trades, like Mark talks about all the time. Because as someone who's in technology, Michael, and a lot of what I sell, while it is foreign made, It is not what we would consider cheap technology. It's expensive, but it lasts a lot longer. But the general everyday stuff, what the gentleman you're talking about who said it's cheaper to just replace it, he's exactly right because of the cheap goods market. Why would you spend $75 an hour on a tech worker when the part's 15 bucks, right? Who's going to do that? So that is one residual effect. So that is exactly correct. Your point that you're saying is really, you're hitting the nail on the head. So I just want to make mention of that. If I can make another unrelated point, Michael, and actually it's kind of related. Do you guys remember when I would come on this show, like in the last few years, and I would talk about how we needed a foreign policy and actually a policy economically, I would say as well. Remember, Michael, how I used to say, don't call us, we'll call you?
Yes.
You know, the president didn't exactly say those words yesterday, but he said that. He said that at the United Nations yesterday. And the rush to judgment from the opposition that somehow we're harming our alliances. Michael, look, I'd argue, first of all, if you've got to ask somebody to be your friend, they're not really your ally or friend, are they?
Or you have to pay them to be your friend by giving them foreign aid.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And while that was at its worst under President Obama, it's not that it started with President Obama. So the president comes in, and what I heard yesterday was pro-nationalism, anti-globalism. You leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. Don't call us, we'll call you. We will strategically work with alliances when it's not only in the interest of all parties, but in particular, the American people. And my question, Michael, is why is that so controversial? I mean, Mark, why is that such a controversial belief and philosophy to have?
I'll answer you in one word. War.
War?
You're going to have to...
Do you read history and see how many of the wars in this world have started? Usually because of nationalism and introvertilism, if you like. it's you know, nobody's going to back down. It becomes that, and that leads to war eventually. So I disagree with you.
Rich, and to Bruce, I'll tell you this. What the president said yesterday, he's strictly defending America. He's just saying, we're doing our thing, you can do your thing, but we're not going to change what we're doing because we need to get back to where we should have never lost our place. And that's the big thing. Many of those countries, by the way, are now paying more of their own expenses. The UN budget has been cut. I mean, America was the babysitting place for this organization for many, many years. Now it's time for everybody to come to the banquet table.
The U.S. got a prize for that. They were the most powerful and the most respected.
They will be the most powerful, but it's not justifiable for someone to go to lunch every day and have the same person pay the bill when there are 5 or 10 other people around the table. You either share the bill or you don't have the organization. And if the organization was so impressively organized, they would be able to end a lot of the conflicts that come up by getting the people in their own regions together. This has been a great PR place, but where are the real actions? Do you see a lot of actions, Rich, with this organization?
Look, hey, Bruce, you know, I love you for coming on, but what you're saying is exactly what the opponents of President Reagan said during his diplomacy with the Soviet Union. And I adhere to President Reagan had a lot of great things to say, but one of the most insightful, astute things he ever said was, if you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. And ultimately, I think the reason
Reagan said it absolutely right. I was a massive supporter of Ronald Reagan. I think that what he did to the Soviet Union was he basically wore them down to where they couldn't afford a conflict with the United States or its allies, and he had very, very strong alliances in Europe. It became totally untenable.
Bruce, I want to be honest with you. Let me just say one word, and then we'll go back to Rich. I think outsourcing has worn down the American people. We have more poverty in this country than we've had in the last 50 years. As our population grew and more people came to this country, instead of more jobs being created, we had more dependency created. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Because manufacturing was the common thread that
exactly. Yeah, so here, the bottom line is, if there's no manufacturing, why are all these people coming? Okay, let's hear it, Bruce. If there's no manufacturing and there's no job and you have no food in your house on the table, how do you invite somebody over for dinner?
Well, I don't know. I don't think the analogy is quite right.
You're saying about how Reagan wore the countries down. It's true. And that's exactly what I believe should have been done in the last 20 years. We should have seen the problem that overtook America for 20 years before that, the loss of industries, the loss of skills, and we should have said, we want our people to be in every level of employment, every level of technology, all inventions made in America. At least 50% of the products are made in America. If 50-50 was in America, we wouldn't have that many people on poverty. We wouldn't have people on the streets. We wouldn't have veterans begging on the street corners. We wouldn't have it.
Much to everybody's surprise, come on this issue a little bit to Bruce's defense. On the far left of things, everybody talks about the democratic socialism. And the best example that most people can give of democratic socialism is Norway. I've never been there. I'd be hard pressed, as good as I think I am on geography, as to point Norway out on the map. So there weren't any indicators, but I do know Norway is economically challenged right now. They're struggling a little bit, but the important fact here is that the United States of America foots Norway's military budget. Period. Amen. They have no military budget. Their people don't pay for their own military. We do.
And by the way, Larkin, did we get to the point of paying for anybody's military budget?
I'm going to again come to Bruce's side here, because Bruce has an uncanny understanding of military science and history. And I'm going to say, we can't do what Rand Paul wants to do. We can't back off completely, because when we did back off, as Clinton did, what happened? 9/11, we got attacked. We have to be present on the global stage.
Larkin, you're right. But let me just add this one point. Wouldn't it be great if America's businesses that were inventing new products, and they're invented every day, whether they're for health or for school or for your convenience in life, that we would have their focus on how are we going to keep that product made in America? We're worried about the entire world. How about the country where we live?
That's a great point.
You also want to export things, don't we?
We do. And if we make enough stuff here, we have something to export, Bruce.
About the United Kingdom, our entire Air Force will be built by U.S. manufacturers by 2024.
That's right, Bruce. Those are all huge products. I'm talking about the common sense shirts that Mark is selling. How many products do we have that are made out of, for clothing and stuff, being shipped all around the world?
I mean, but each one of those aircraft, I think...
Okay, but it employs a certain amount of thousands of people, not millions.
Thousands of jobs behind them here in the U.S.
Yeah, well, I not only make the shirt, Mike, I'm also sole source provider for Northrop Grumman for the Joint Threat Emitter System.
What I'm saying, Mark. Yeah, you stayed focused and consistent. You are an example above examples. You showed us what common sense can really provide. You're not ashamed to promote America, buy American. You're not ashamed to promote your business, your community, and your future. The future you're worried about, the future of your kids. And hopefully your kids will take that example,
Mike,
and be worried about their children.
we say support the country you live in, 50-50 fair trade. I've had more Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese come to my store and appreciate my store more than most Americans always. They want to take a product back from America. It is common sense. Support the country you live in. We took our eye off the ball. We got selfish, greedy, and lazy. It's a fact.
And we got selfish, greedy, and lazy because of 535 people in Washington, D.C., the elected elite of this country, who looked out for themselves, and the hell with the American people.
We have beaten these guys to death. They screwed up, whether it was intentionally, whether it was for their own economic gain, I have no idea. We need to quit looking over our shoulder and start looking forward.
Yeah, but Larkin, you're right, and I just want to add this. Because we are speaking about this on a regular basis, we are encouraging people to have more say when they speak to their elected officials, as I do. Elected officials,
they're not going to fix this problem, Michael.
If they contact their elected officials, the elected officials start to get jumpy. The electorate is getting angry with me. We're not doing our job.
No. The Congress is not going to straighten out this problem. They created it, but there's no flipping way in their current condition with $23 trillion of debt that they are going to dig this country out. We have to dig ourselves out of it.
Right.
And the closest thing we can get to it is maybe governors who can work on the fundamental educational system in their states.
You're right, Larkin, and my point is, if our people harass their elected officials are less able and willing to give out our hard-earned tax dollars to somebody else.
But, Mike, who had the guts to break up the swamp, the country club? Donald Trump.
That's right.
All the users and losers and people that are selfish, come on. Donald Trump's the only one that had the guts to break them down.
And he is...
The only one.
He's the only one, and he's the spiritual leader. I don't know that spiritual is the right word, but he certainly has set
both sides.
he has set the pace. There's no question. With his executive orders, with everything that he's done, he's doing the right thing. He's not saying it the right way. He's not omitting the greatest leadership qualities, whatever you want to say. But the fact of the matter is, this is about as far as he can go. And
he's
if he loses
ball,
the
he just started.
Congress...
Larkin, you're right. If he loses the midterms, it'll be a very, very difficult thing. But I want to tell you something. He is shaking the tree, and I wish President Obama would have done it. I wish President Bush would have done it. And in fact, Larkin, you suggested the scorecard on Reagan, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump. And hopefully we'll be able to discuss that next week because I got a beautiful report. Did you receive it from me in the mail? In the email? Did you get it, Rich? I send out a basic report on what
they did in the first two years.
I think we have to, when we're all here, we have to discuss that next week because he is really starting to shake up the 535 people. They're less willing to go into their districts and start screaming, we need bridges to nowhere. We need all this rigmarole. They're less able and less willing to do it because they know that somebody at the top will say, no, that's ridiculous. Look how many bridges to nowhere we've built with tax dollars, and still the bridge sits there going nowhere.
Hey, Michael, can I, a couple points? And look, Bruce is exactly right about economic pressures from President Reagan with the Soviets. But I'm still... Look, we were all supposed to be dead by this point with a President Trump, right? Isn't that what the Democrats in the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex told us?
Yeah, and a lot of people were supposed to move out of America. I'm still waiting.
We're all going to be dead by now. Look, we're all alive. We're still going, right? So in addition to growth at home, I heard the president yesterday, Michael, mention Poland, who's a very instrumental country in building a Baltic oil pipeline. And the intent and goal of the pipeline is to become less dependent on Russia as an oil provider. We've got the Ukraine purchasing record amounts of coal, American-made coal, to go over there. I think that, and I'm not convinced that the president is doing anything to get us into war. In fact, I think it's the exact opposite, Bruce. So we just, you know, we have a difference of opinion on this, that whether it's North Korea, Eastern Europe, even with down south of our border and what we're doing down there, what we're going to be doing Central Latin and Central America, South America. So I was told, and I'm not saying that you said this, I don't know if you said this or not, but I was told by all Democrats in the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex that if we elected President Trump, we were all going to die. Isn't that what you guys were told, too? We were all going to die.
No.
We're still going.
I'm not going to get into politics of things. I'm just saying that, was saying that throughout history, certainly since the mid-1800s, nearly every single war has begun because of nationalism.
Well, nationalism, I understand. But see, Bruce, We're not saying total isolationism, nothing like that. But we have to have a 50-50 balance.
Well,
look at what happened to our schools.
We need to balance the budget. I think there are other ways to do it.
By the way, Bruce, if there was 50%... If there was 50% balance of our teaching in school, where the kids had this trades and going into all, and you had classes for math, history, science, geography, and the other half of your day you were learning a trade that would be able to employ you for a lifetime, I think that's a balance. Right now, we've lost the balance. The schools that offer those programs, or they've used all the other classrooms where they had auto shop and wood shop and welding and everything else. They're now visual centers and everything else. Libraries. Nobody's looking at a library, but
Give Bruce a chance to answer.
Okay, Bruce.
No, I agree that, it's going to take a lot of changes up in the swampland that we all agree is a swampland in Washington to change the schools. I agree with Larkin that except for the curriculum, I think that all schools need to be more local in this country. There's no question or doubt about that. But without any leadership, nothing like you say is going to happen. And I think there's a complete lack of leadership
Bruce,
all over the globe.
You're right. Bruce, and I only wished when President Obama was elected, I said to the people that I know, I said, maybe we are going to see a difference. Maybe there will be a focus on going into the communities, making those people come about, get more into trades. None of that happened. It was everything just sat quiet the way it was. And that is one of the reasons I believe people wanted the change and voted for Donald Trump. Maybe he's not the most well-spoken, but he is getting more people together to look at the realities of what has happened to America. Just drive down any road and see all those empty buildings. They just didn't empty out in a day or two. It took years of some hustler getting that business and moving it overseas.
30 to 40 years it took, Mike, but we have to get healthy as a country first.
Right, and we have to spend our money on common sense things like the things that we buy. Help the local stores as much as you can. Look at the labels. Speak up. When people tell me they speak up like never before, they've never been so brazen, I love it. That's what we need in this country.
We got to watch the American-made movie more. I've been pushing it here more. It's globalization is fine. You got to watch what happened.
Right.
Yeah, I just got one other thing I'd like to say before I sign off is that, as first mentioned here, the division in this country is something that somebody's got to solve.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a division anymore. It's a chasm.
Yes.
And I'm simply an observer of that. I'm not on either side, to be honest, but it's getting wider and wider. And if everybody had bought into what Trump was doing, there wouldn't be any worry about the midterms.
But, you know, when I look at what's been going on the last 10 years, I really think that this division's been going on for a long, long time. From the time of President Bush after the September 11th tragedy, I think so much has changed in this country. People become very paranoid, very angry. there's been no cheerleader, nobody saying, let's do this to help ourselves out of this hole. I think that no matter what, we're seeing some of those things happen. But we're seeing something more important than anything, and that is because of President Trump, the person speaking up, we are seeing more people in communities, more politicians, more school boards, more elected officials who are out there in the small communities saying we got to do something to help Americans become employed. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, it's that time. Bruce, we got to have you back. This was a great discussion. This is what happens on Open Forum. Rich, I want to discuss the scorecard with the presidents maybe next week. Read up on them because they are very interesting. And let's get this thing rocking and rolling again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish all of you the very best. Thank you to Bruce Bassett Powell, to Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and Rich, and of course, Mark Andel, the man with common sense. Thank you for Henry. You'll be able to hear a rebroadcast of today's show a little later on this afternoon when Henry posts it. Do spread the word. Email it around to family members and friends. When you go to the store, look at those labels. Speak up. Don't hesitate. Speak up and say, what do you have that's a competitive item for this that's made in America? Let's get this thing moving as we've got it on a roll right now. Have a great one, everybody.
All right. Have a great week, guys.
Have a great weekend.